Welcome to OXPM. I'm your host, Grant.
And I'm Gavin.
And we have a very special episode in store for you today. I know we say that every week, but this week we have one of our good friends, Wolf Lambert. He's a close friend of ours and also a close collaborator with us in a lot of our outside ventures here at Oxford. And he's a very, very talented pianist, influenced by the likes of Billy Joel and Elton John. I think that really comes across in his music. And yeah, you can just... His skill will definitely come through in the two songs he has today. Gavin, would you care to share the titles of those songs with us?
Yeah, so we're going to have Amnesia Bar by Wolf and Lost. Personally, my favorite between the two is Lost. I love the way that the song swells into, you know, into the emotion that he brings forth through the keys. But also, it's fun talking with Wolf. Like you said, he's a close friend of ours. Good time hanging out with him always. And he's in our little band or passion project. Telephage. So that's always a good time. But yeah, nothing really else to say. I mean, I think you said it with his skill, you know. We'll see everything he has to offer here coming up in about 3 minutes.
Yep. And we have some other exciting stuff coming up on the website. Gavin has just finished a AI visual to a poem he's written called Old Man. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so you had a really good description for it. I forget the description that we came up for the website, but long story short, it's just a poem, more so self-reflective than anything, on just going through the journey of life and understanding that you can bring the past with you and you can learn from the past, and you shouldn't let the past necessarily hinder your future. And it's, like I said, it's a self-reflective poem. It's kind of like you're looking in the mirror. But yeah, definitely go check it out. I can't lie. I really enjoy making it, and yeah, Grant, you have another one coming up. What was the title of your poem?
It's Wings, and then in parentheses, Ophelia, and it's kind of about the hometown experience. I wrote it while I was sitting in a bar back in Valley Park in the U.S., and so I've been working on the visuals for that, and that'll all be coming out soon. And then we also have some write-ups coming out. One of Gavin's buddies, Baker, is a filmmaker, so Gavin sat down and talked with him last week, and we're working on the final write-up for that. And then one of my friends, his name's Pierce, and he's a rapper based out of Philadelphia right now and also a poet and a bass player. So him and I have quite a bit in common, and it was a very, very fun conversation. So we're excited to get that out to you guys, and make sure you check our social medias for updates on when those different things will be up on the website.
Yeah, and as always, if you guys have anything that you would want to see or you'd like to send something to be on the website, do let us know. You can send us an email at oxpmuk@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram, oxpm_UK, same thing as Twitter and Facebook. So make sure to go check all those out. I will say on the website, I'm excited for these new visuals and these new write-ups to come out, because we're trying a new format. We're going to make it almost like a storyboard journey and have it be more of an experience necessarily than an article, if that makes sense. I don't know about you, Grant, but I'm super excited for the Pierce article and the Baker article, because one, like you said, you know Pierce, I know Baker from previous endeavors, but two, I think because of that, we're able to insert ourselves more, not necessarily into their shoes, but somewhat into their perspective, and help them get that vision of promoting their works, getting their ideas out to the world and otherwise. So yeah, be on the lookout for that.
Yep. And we're excited to give you guys a glimpse into the Oxford artistic scene. There's so much thriving intellectualism here, so much creativity, and that's just has been our main goal for the past couple of weeks, is to sit down with people that we know are creative and very, very intelligent, and just get their works and their thoughts out to you. So we hope you enjoy today's episode. I think Wolf definitely fits kind of that mantra of ours. So
we'll see you in there.
This is Wolf Lambert, and this is my first song. It's an original, and it's called Amnesia Bar.
Mm-hmm. when Norton's defied. Life's worries ain't that high. Steve over there, two children to care. Life's to the cocaine machine. He has a dream to forget for a while. Where you always can burn it, never in a hurry. Living your life, drinking whiskey and wine, never wondering why. You never really did try to make it out to find the spotlight, find the spotlight. Scratches on her wrist. Will is here, losing his hair. At least not the will to live. They have a drink to forget for a while. Where you always can bug here, never in a hurry. Living your life, drinking whiskey and wine, never wondering why. Never really did try to make it out to find the spotlight, find the spotlight. Life's worries ain't that hard. When did I start? How has it come so far? Am I lost as well? Should have a drink. Forget for a while.
Next song is called Lost.
Good morning. eyes find to see when you're away. Are you running again? By the beach and the sea you went. Hi mom, hi dad. About time we had a chat. Today she turned 5.
Wolf, thanks so much for being on today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm so glad to hear those two songs, Amnesia Bar,
mm-hmm.
Amnesia, depending on how you pronounce it, right? And Lost, yes. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Briefly, I know we were just having a very theoretical discussion.
Yeah.
Could you just describe how you came about those songs? I know you had told me the latter of the two, I believe, was a quick turnaround for your performance today.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess both songs, actually, I've been working on for about a month in terms of, like, the structure and what I want it to sound like and, like, kind of getting my inspiration sorted. But then the actual lyrics I only really did this morning because basically I'm horrible with lyrics and I kind of need things like deadlines, and I saw this as a deadline, and it generally did help. It just made me pick a lot more quickly what words to choose. But yeah, so the two songs, so the first one that I performed was Amnesia Bar. It's kind of like, basically it came around the time that I discovered Honky Chateau by Elton John, which is like this album, I think one of his earlier ones, and is very kind of bluesy inspired kind of rock vibes. And there's a song on there, I guess, trigger warning. It's called, like, I Think I Want to Kill Myself or something like that. And it is a very similar kind of style to that song. And obviously very morbid, but very fun kind of sounding boogie-woogie kind of style. Well, I'm not sure if Elton John is actually that boogie-woogie in that song, but I made it boogie-woogie because I like boogie-woogie. So I wanted to do something similar to that. And then I just decided on Amnesia Bar. And the kind of idea is, there's this piano man who works for a bar, and he just sees all of these people kind of in agony in different ways. So it's kind of some inspiration from Billy Joel there for me personally, as well in terms of the storytelling. And he kind of looks around, and he basically is just saying, like, God, everybody's just drinking their sorrows away, really. And then, but yeah, that's fine, because this is Amnesia Bar. Like, here you can just dance and boogie-woogie and forget that the fact that you didn't make it, that you didn't find the spotlight and stuff like that. That's kind of the first song. And then the second song, I guess it's kind of just about the anxiety kind of being in your early 20s and not really knowing where you're going to go. That's kind of the feeling with which I started it. And then it kind of just developed into a song where I kind of put my feelings regarding loss and of other people and of important figures in my life, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of the inspiration.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yes.
That's awesome. I picked up a little bit on the Billy Joel inspiration for Amnesia Bar.
Yeah.
Naturally, I think that's a big theme within that, and I really like that. But I didn't think of anything about Elton John at all. And now that you mention it, it's my mind has erupted into, as Lord Bug would remember, the fondue cheese of the moon.
nice, yeah. It's very much based on that Honky Chateau album,
yeah.
And I would really recommend it. It's really, really fun.
So you mentioned there's some Elton John and some Billy Joel in there. Would you mind kind of walking us through both your musical experience, assuming you've been playing piano for a long time, and just kind of both how you came to be the pianist that you are now, but also kind of your musical influences along the way as you've begun to write your own songs?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, relatively speaking, I started piano quite late. I was 14 when I started playing piano. I did some like private lessons, and in the beginning, I guess, up until like 15 or something, most of the music that I was subject to was a mixture of classical music through my parents, who are very much more classical music focused. And then, I guess, just kind of like childhood pop songs, you know, like whatever, those kind of songs. And also soundtracks. That's what got me into piano, is that I really wanted to perform Hedwig's theme from Harry Potter, or perform Jurassic Park, or Indiana Jones, or whatever. Like, I really loved film music, and I still do to this day. And I wanted to recreate that. So I kind of started with that in mind. Classic, your teacher is like, but you also need to do some classical. So quite a lot of classical music. And then actually, that's not really what I play today, but I started off my songwriting kind of playing soundtracky stuff, like on piano. So kind of very much John Williams-esque, obviously nowhere near the level of John Williams, I wish. But yeah, kind of with that in mind, trying to create something like John Williams. And then along the way, I discovered other types of music. I got into like electro and stuff like that when I started producing, kind of funk as well. And then I guess the last maybe 2 years or something, I would say I'm very much into blues and kind of rock and rock pop, and very much also that era of pop / rock that's quite influenced by blues. I mean, naturally it's influenced by blues, but that you can very much still feel it. It's like very tangible. Like, I think Honky Chateau is one of those that's, in my opinion, quite tangible. So yeah, Elton John came kind of in that regard because of that structure, that kind of bluesy inspiration. And then Billy Joel for me was very much storytelling. I think he's one of the greatest storytellers, personally. I love so many of his songs, like the album, the Stranger album and stuff is insane. Like, I love it. Vienna is an amazing song. We were singing it together earlier. And I think he's one of my biggest inspirations in terms of thinking with regards to lyrics or with regards to dynamics and what I want in there. Because I think he's one of those people that made me realize that you can make really great music by thinking a lot and really making something to an extent complex, but making it sound simple as well.
Right.
And I think that's kind of how I thought about Lost, for example, and also for Amnesia Bar. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of my inspiration.
That brings me, we were talking just before this about your new experience that you're getting into. You said you're starting to record a film score. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, so there is a short film. So one of the projects is like a short film that I helped film during the summer. It's called Punch Bowl, and it'll be released, I think, around May, potentially June. So right now I'm waiting for the first cut so I can compose the music to the picture. But I've worked on a few demos already just to get the vibe kind of going. It'll be kind of Fleabag sounding, if that makes sense, that kind of music. So I'm working on that. On the other hand, I'm also, there was a musical that we wrote before COVID, but then got cancelled through COVID. I'm not sure you can call it a musical, I guess. It's more kind of a play with music. And I wrote some music for that. So hopefully we'll get that going again. It's not fully finished because COVID. Yeah, that's one of those projects. And then there's also a musical that's being put on in Michaelmas. I don't think it has a title yet. But I have not written any of the songs, but I'm just arranging the backing tracks, basically. So I'll be producing the backing tracks and stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is very cool. I'm personally not a person that will listen to film soundtracks or video game soundtracks or anything like that, but I have a profound regard for like the effect it has on the film or you know, what have you. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit, especially since you've written one or are currently in the process of writing one, what considerations go into that, and how do you view that as different from like writing the songs you just performed here?
I think for me personally, at least thus far, one of the biggest differences is for me that for a movie or a project like that, I am trying to help the vision of the director, of whoever created this, maybe the writer. And that is going to be my main focus. Obviously, I want some creative liberty within that and make my own thing of it. But when I'm performing a song like I've done now, I decide the dynamics. I decide what my message is, what I would like people to interpret in what passages and stuff like that. So I think that's one huge kind of difference. And then I guess when you're just kind of looking at composing to film, I mean, you've got the kind of more practical stuff, which is looking at specific kind of points to hit. So say that you're doing a battle scene, then obviously you want the moment that the hero hits the dragon, although I like dragons, but the villain or something like that. You want that to sound, oh my God, what's happening? So you're really looking for those kind of key points. And you're also often going to like use themes again. It kind of depends on how you do it. But as I said, like John Williams is kind of like an inspiration, and he's very much a theme kind of guy. So you reuse themes and you think of ways of making it fit the dynamics. I think it really depends on the project, in all honesty. Because there are, as I said, like the short film I'm doing now is, for example, not really stuff I've really prepared much in terms of like actual scoring to film or a play or something like that, because it's actually kind of more rock sounding. Like if you've listened to like Fleabag, maybe rock is not the right word, but at least not a symphonic orchestra, right? Something like that. So I'm not sure if that answered your question, but I hope it vaguely did. If not, feel free to correct me.
No, it did.
I'm a big fan of the French Dispatch soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that movie?
I have not. Oh. Sorry.
Highly recommend. That's probably my favorite movie of all time. I showed Grant that. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
Before you came here?
Yeah, I did. That's one of my favorite movies. And then now we're going to move on to a little film discussion.
Yeah.
But over this past winter break, I watched The Banshees of Inisherin. Oh,
yes. I still want to watch that one.
Can't speak to the soundtrack of it, but if you do watch it, let me know what you think. Like visually, I feel like I'm going to sound very pretentious saying that. It reminds me a lot of Wes Anderson visually, just the way the colors are arranged. Yeah. But it's set in a very, like, it's on this island. And so with lots of rocky cliffs and big rolling waves, and so it uses more of the natural scenery, whereas I feel like Wes Anderson kind of uses more architectural symmetry. And but the, I feel like the colors, it probably has something to do with the actual lenses and the filters and stuff, but it just very much reminded me of that. And also, while we're on this note, I think it was 2 weeks ago we ran into you when you were on the way to see The Whale.
Yes.
With Brendan Fraser. What do you think about that? I very much want to see that movie.
Ooh, I think it was a really good movie. I think a lot of people talk about Brendan Fraser and his acting performance, and yes, it's great. But I personally was very much moved by the daughters. I'm afraid I don't know her name, unfortunately, but I know she's like hitting it off right now, like crazy. But I was really impressed by her performance. I thought it was insane. I think the movie itself is, it just kind of hits an emotional nerve really, really well. It's heartbreaking. I wouldn't say it's without faults. Certain parts are just a bit like, why would you do that? And it doesn't necessarily make sense, or feels a bit slow or dragged. But in the end, it's all worth it because the ending, in my opinion, definitely moved me. So I would very much recommend anybody listening to go watch it. It's a generally a great watch, but be ready to kind of, I needed a walk afterwards. I was just like, I need a walk and just not talk to anybody. And then I saw somebody and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a bit a mess right now. I'll talk to you later.
Oh man. Yeah, I heard a lot about that movie, but I didn't go see it. Is it still in the theaters?
I think it's only in theaters still. Like, I've tried to find some illegal bootleg streams online to watch it. I can't find it anywhere. So
can you say that on the podcast?
Oh dear Lord. We'll see.
Fair. Track the IP address to this podcast.
Soaptoday.ac. Fear it.
Oh my God. Fair dues. Fair dues.
That's my plug. If you're in the US, go to that website, soap2day.ac. If you're not in the U.S., get a VPN for the U.S. and go to that website.
Shout out all my bootlegging movie homies.
Yep. They did not pay me to say this. just a disclaimer.
Nice. Oh, man. Film, and music. It's kind of crazy how those like go together so well. Mm. You don't think even – I mean, sometimes – maybe this is pretentious or even narcissistic of me, but sometimes I like to – imagine myself in the third person and imagine myself as almost like one of those GTA characters with a little camera above you and the soundtrack to GTA San Andreas is playing.
Yes. That's a good vibe.
You know, it's fun. It's good stuff. Do you ever do that, Wolf?
Do I ever imagine myself in the third person with some music playing in the background?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Specifically.
I'm not sure about the third person stuff necessarily. As in, like, I'm not actually imagining a camera on me. But, like, I'll listen to music and walk and feel like a main character and be like, you can try whatever against me now, but, like, it's just not going to work. Like, I am the main character. So
You have plot armor like Harry Potter. Music in.
Exactly. Especially, like, workout stuff like that. Like, music is so great to just, like, okay, suddenly I'm Rocky. Like, yeah, for sure. I'll fight some dude in some ring at some point. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I do. I feel like a lot of people feel like their lives have soundtracks, I really wish I could like not have headphones in and no one else could hear the music, but I could just be going around having my music going for everything I do. So how would you describe the soundtrack to your life if there was one?
Oh dear. I mean, first of all, I think it would be incredibly scary to have that soundtrack, because imagine something is about to happen. You have no clue, but there's just some violin like eerily doing this one note and you're like I hear like imagine you're like on a date and it's like really good music and then suddenly it becomes dramatic and you're like, fuck, did I say something wrong? Oh God, oh dear Lord, they're laughing at me, aren't they? Like I don't know, like what genre of movie am I in? I'd be scared to death. Like a rom-com, yeah, great, get me in, but like a horror, like goddamn. I don't know, but I don't know, what would the soundtrack to my life be like? I'd imagine it'd be quite an eclectic mix. I would say it's, there'll be moments that is very like kind of traditionally classical kind of music, taking me back to my youth and stuff like that. And then on the other hand, there'll be more kind of like folk, country, blues kind of sounding stuff. Definitely when I'm in the car. there's definitely going to be some blues playing. So I think it really depends. I think just as like life is, it's going to be changing. And I don't think there'll be one style. I guess I'll have to ask the director. It's a new name for God, I guess, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm deep on that.
Well, it depends, I guess, to a degree, you're the director, right?
That's true.
The free will aspect of this conversation comes in very quickly.
That is true. I guess I am assuming that everything is planned out. Although, and by the way, I'm not even Christian. I don't know why I went in this route, but whatever. Yeah, that's very true. I guess I just don't know, and I think I don't want to know what the music of the future will be. I like the fact that I don't know what music I'll like in 2 years, because that is just what has happened. And I mean, music in general evolves, like what people like in terms of popular music and stuff like that. So I'd like to see where it's headed, but I guess I'm always surprised, really.
I think we're going to start getting songs that are a minute long consistently, and it's all going to be the TikTok songs that have chorus, 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 verse, bridge, chorus, and they end.
Mm.
All in a minute, or a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Increasingly, we're going to start seeing that.
For sure, but maybe I'm naive in that, but I feel like throughout people always talking about these changes and how music will deteriorate. One, I think there's always people who would generally find a way of making even those formats sound very interesting.
True.
And I think there's always people who just want to reinvent the genre constantly, and they will literally be looking at a thing like, yeah, that's just 1 minute, I want to do more. And for them to actually make a career out of it, it'll probably be a lot more difficult, because I think, as you say, like, that's going to be very popular. That's going to be where the big money maybe is. But there'll be people making music always, and there'll be people making albums and not making any money of it, but it might still be insane and great.
Well, Grant, you were saying just the other day how much influence classical music has on the genre of rap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I listen to a lot of rap, and when I study, I listen to a lot of instrumental rap albums.
Yes.
And I was thinking about just how influential. Well, classical music obviously influences all genres of music we have now, just as far as typical arrangements and structures and those kind of things. But when you're listening to instrumental hip hop, since there's no vocals, it has to change very quickly. There has to be a lot of dynamic shifts in order to keep your ear interested. And when I listen to classical music, I notice the same thing. Even though a lot of times in a lot of instrumental hip-hop albums, you'll get maybe 20 to 25, like, 1 to 2 minute beats, and it'll switch. But it flows very similarly to a classical piece, even though in a classical piece, you'll have 4 10-minute long, or, you know, whatever. But it just, like, it uses the same kind of devices to keep the listener engaged. And so that kind of thing is very interesting to me to look at. But also, to go back to the TikTok thing, I don't think TikTok will be popular 2 years from now. I mean, look at Vine, which is kind of its predecessor.
Yeah.
Like, that was real popular and just died. And so if it continues in that direction, I'm not saying that necessarily negates that trend of songs getting shorter and shorter because of how popular snippets are now. Like, look at Poland by Lil Yachty. That song's like a minute long, and it was the top song in like 20 countries or something for like a week. And there's not a verse. It's just
out of the world to Poland.
Yeah, precisely. So anyway, that was two separate thoughts there. So you guys can respond to whichever one of those you want to.
No, yeah, I think it's fair what you say about TikTok. I guess I do think to some extent it is a bit different than Vine, in the sense that its algorithm is a lot better, and it can very accurately kind of see what you like and kind of really focus in on that. I guess it will also be a case of politics, considering where it's made and had the privacy issues with that have been like already been in the media for a while. So we'll see just where that goes, I guess. But I don't know. I guess there's just a part of me that thinks that even if those things have a huge impact, like, I personally don't really listen to the top 10 songs most of the time. Like, I'm sure there will be a few that I've heard through the radio or something like that. But most of the time, I do just kind of get bored with them. But it's fine. Like, I find my music. And I always believe that, considering it's so accessible now, people will always find their music. So
yeah.
I think people tend to be very frustrated about what is popular music and what makes the big money, and I completely get that. But there's so many different ways of making music and making a life out of music, like actually getting money from it. There's so many different ways. So I guess I'm hopeful on that front. And I really liked your point about rap as well. I had never considered that. But yeah, it's really interesting. And I always like wonder to what extent those things have to do with like actual influence directly from classical music or just like a common ancestor, if that makes sense. I don't know. I find those things like very interesting, considering like classical music being a very kind of European thing, obviously then branching out kind of afterwards, but also the different kinds of like music that you have, like African music and Asian, kind of different Asian musical styles. Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Are those rap instrumental albums, do they run, would you say they run conceptually? Or by that, what I mean is when one song ends, you don't necessarily hear the end of the song and it goes right into the next.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon type album.
Yeah, yeah. Most of them run like that. Like most of the time you'll get maybe a minute to a minute and a half and you'll have 20 to 30 of those. And it just, you can listen to it all the way through and you could not ever really know when a song has changed from one to the next. Like it doesn't sound like all one thing. And there's a lot of, because like when you're making an actual rap beat for a song that's going to have vocals on it, you still have to, it can't just be one loop over and over again, but there's more proclivity to go towards that because the vocals keep it interesting. But when there's no vocals, you have to, it'll be like a melody with drums, take out like one hi-hat, add a different one. And it's a bunch of slight changes like that in succession until you end up with a completely different melody and a completely different sound.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not super educated on classical music, but from what I've listened to, I feel like that's a big trend in classical music. That's how it works, is it moves just, obviously not, you can obviously tell when one piece moves to the next one or one movement finishes, but that's just a similarity I see.
That makes me wonder about MIDI and the use of MIDI in production nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You produce, you said, you've done, I'm sure, a numerous amount, varying types of production.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call myself an expert.
Regardless, yeah. Are you influenced at all by those, let's say, MIDI packs or different types of instruments you can get within your DAW or your software? How does that look for you? Do you use any of that, or do you go, I'm going to write acoustic, I'm going to do this with a grand piano that I've set up, a couple of mics, maybe record some vocals behind it? What's it look like?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one. I guess it generally, again, depends on what genre I would be working on. And also it depends what I have available, really, as well. I guess I am not a violinist, or I do not play the double bass. So it's kind of like you have to work with those things. I think, for example, for like electronic music, even if I want to use kind of normally acoustic instruments, it's really nice to actually use MIDI in that sense, just because of the fact that you can quantize it. And you can do tiny things to make it sound a bit more lively, and you can tweak a lot of these things. And the really nice thing about the VSTs is that it gives you something and you say, how am I going to tweak it and make it my own sound? And that's a really kind of fun thing to experiment with. If you have a piano right there, I mean, you can still, I guess, somehow manipulate it, but I'm not technically aware enough of how I would not just damage the piano and to make it sound different. But there's, with MIDI, like, you can do a lot more things. I mean, I guess you could record a piano and then change it in the actual DAW. But I guess MIDI just makes it a tiny bit easier. I think it really depends on what I'm writing. I think, for example, for songs like these things, I would not use a MIDI. But there are things like lo-fi or something, like when you really want it to like be steady, and sometimes it can sound a bit unnatural, and you'd be like, yeah, no, somebody wouldn't play that perfectly in time or something like that. But that kind of works. I personally think it just genuinely really depends on what you're going for. Yeah. I think I find out a lot with music. I think, sure, there are basic rules, but if you know what you're going for, Or if you feel what you're going for, you don't necessarily need to know it in words. Then anything, I mean, that is with a disclaimer, I guess, but anything goes.
True. Yeah, I just think MIDI's super interesting. I finally got my QWERTY keyboard hooked up to my DAW so I can just play on the keys instead of having to hook up my keyboard to my system, which is absolutely wonderful. Changed my life.
Okay, this will probably be our final question, unless you have anything else. But now that we've talked about kind of your influences and just work you've done as an artist, where are you hoping to go? I don't like to give a time frame with this question, like what's your 5-year plan?
Yeah,
but just like over the next general period of time, where would you hope to develop as an artist? Like what would you like to do?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. I guess I definitely, regardless of it being as an artist or not, I want to be in the music industry, so working in the music industry. And that can be as an artist, but I mean, I also want to be realistic and be like, yeah, I can just work behind the scenes and help. But like, as long as I'm around music, that'd be great. What I'd be wanting to do, I definitely want to just write more songs, get better at writing lyrics. I think also find the composure to get the dynamics really right. I think, for example, when I was talking earlier about like songs sounding simple, I think one of the things that makes a good pop song different from a pop song that I might hear in the charts and be like, okay, I guess I know why this is popular, but this is not, in my opinion, good, is sometimes like things like dynamics, or I mean, obviously production and how rich it is in that sense. But for me, it's a lot of it is about dynamics. And I want to get better at those kind of things. So I think the main aim is just going to be to keep doing music. And if great opportunities arise, I will 100% say yes. If anybody's listening, please give me opportunities. but yeah, I'll definitely accept it. And yeah, I'm not sure I have a plan. I guess I've got a plan in terms of like when I'm like quite old and I actually have money, I would like to like start a record label that basically can protect starting artists. So we've got the Oxford Recording Society, which is kind of like, so that's Jake's ID and Jake's baby. And it very much aligned with what I was kind of thinking, in the sense that we need to create kind of an atmosphere, a scene that can help all of these beginning artists knowing what they're getting themselves into. And I think the music industry can be a dangerous place in very different ways. So I would like that once I actually have the resources to do that, to be able to help those people. But before that, I'll find my own way as an artist and I'll just see where I'm headed. I have no clue is unfortunately my answer, but I'll hopefully enjoy the ride regardless.
You just got to stay up on those projects you got right now.
Sorry?
Stay up on the projects that you have right now.
Stay up?
Stay up as in keep working towards the final goal within those projects.
Exactly.
American slang, that's my fault.
Yeah, it's also not my first language. Maybe I'm just being a bit slow. No worries, man.
Well, you have more that you have more languages than I do. Probably by many.
All right, well, if you have any social medias, or I mean, you talked about the film coming out, anything soon that you want to just plug or promote, feel free. And then when you're done with that, if you'd like to give us just a little outro.
Okay, I'm quickly looking up what actually my Instagram tag is, because I always forget. Okay, if people want to follow socials for my music, it's Music on the Moon with underscores, so Music underscore on underscore the underscore moon. That's where I post my covers, and I also have a SoundCloud, same name, where I'll put more of my original stuff. So hopefully these songs at some point I'll be releasing on either one of those, and then hopefully Spotify. So I guess that's kind of the main place. And then for projects, I guess Punchbowl coming out in Trinity Term. So and that's how, go and watch the movie. I don't know how, I have no clue, but I mean, go and watch it if you hear about it. I'll be talking about it. So if you follow my socials, I'm just telling you. Nice.
We'll make sure to plug it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. Thanks. And then the Helen Garden play in Corpus. It's going to be a great one. That's the one I did a bit of music for, and hopefully we'll still be doing some or helping whoever is doing it. And then do I do that for now?
Yep.
All right. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This was Fox PM, and this was Wolf Lambert. Until the next one.
Thank you, everybody.
Don't forget to visit our website at oxpm.com and to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at oxpm_UK. That's oxpm_UK.